Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 28th chapter of St. Matthew, the gospel text, which has already been read. It's always something, isn't it? Overnight, we went from every time you turned on the TV, logged into your device, if you still read the newspaper, there it was, the thing. And if you watch local news, you can even track the course of the thing. The evening scoreboard on Channel 6 reminded me of Walter Cronkite's scoreboard during the Vietnam War. Looks like we're winning. And then, overnight. So, we're not doing the COVID anymore. No, now every time you turn on your TV, log into your device, or if you still read the newspaper, it's there. It's the thing too. A new thing, right? Actually, nothing new here. It's always something. And there's no scoreboard, but the visuals are pretty compelling, aren't there? Fire here, smashing there. Looky, looky, we've got a split screen, four screens, four cities, all the same thing. And people wonder, what is happening to our country? I've seen this before. In 1968, they couldn't do a split screen. It was low def, and if you missed the evening news, you kind of missed it. 1968, Cold War, Vietnam War, the draft, the civil rights movement. And it was the April assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. that set off, they're called the King Assassination Riots. You might remember them. They continued into the long hot summer. And we've seen this before. I was 11 in 1968. And in my world, the Cardinals were making another World Series run. We played baseball every day down at Thomas Jefferson School, and we were all going to be Major League Baseball players when we grew up. I delivered the papers, but I sure didn't read them, except for the comics. And every night on the news, saw the scoreboard. Looks like we're winning. Meanwhile, over in the adult world in 1968, many were wondering, what's happening to our country? Brief history, the last 100 years of America, we went over and won World War I, and the 1920s roared in and along in the Great Depression. And from what people tell me here, the children who grew up in the 30s didn't know there was a problem. They heard about it, but they didn't really experience it. My father never went hungry. But for a time, there was a lot of unemployment, some financial ruin, a perfect storm of hardship, but at least there was no plague. And then, on December 7, 1941, a day that does live in infamy, Japan attacked our fleet at Pearl Harbor, and there's nothing like war to revive the economy. And after the war, the men came home and went to work, and they married, and their wives had babies and stayed home. And the norm was to go to church on Sunday morning. And then something happened. Those babies grew up and became adults. What's happening in our country? Well, American Christians, and it crossed denominational lines. American Christians used to hold many core beliefs in common. We agreed. Jesus is God, and he was miraculously born of a virgin. He did miracles, and he rose from the dead himself. Stealing and lying are wrong. Marriage is between one man and one woman. And God created all this in 6 days, and then on the seventh, he rested. And we all understood that. And quite frankly, I was surprised that last summer, the Lutheran Church in Missouri Synod in Convention confessed our belief that God created all this in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. We said that in confession. We had made such declarations at least a couple times previously, and every Missouri Synod pastor I know believes that, and the Bible clearly teaches it. So I was pleasantly surprised that our church body broached the subject and clearly stated our belief, which these days is kind of a really odd belief. So what's happening to our country? Well, one of the things that's happening to our country is that people don't believe that God created all of this in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. They don't believe that. And they look at people like me and you who do believe that, and they are quite frankly baffled that anyone could believe such a thing. Why are you people against science anyway? But as you know, we actually invented modern science, the Christians. That's what's happening to our country. People do not believe that a loving Heavenly Father meticulously and painstakingly created all this and for us. For us, that's why it's here. Listen to the radio on the way to Sherrard yesterday. I do that on Saturday morning. And for some reason, it was turned to 1420, not public radio. And the guy was talking about blah, 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 blah. And then he said, "We really don't know how life got here. We know it's here, but we really don't know how life got here." And many don't know, or believe that we are accidental or random. And many believe that, as you know, because their shepherds tell them that. Jesus talks about them. They are like sheep without a shepherd. Martha, no last name needed, used to be a member of my congregation back in the 80s. And her thing was that if you want to complain about the pastor, I guess that happens sometimes, you ought to ask, is he faithful? And that's pretty much to her the long and short of it. Does he teach the word faithfully? CFW, last name needed, Walther, said, "Sheep, go ahead and judge your shepherd. Judge his doctrine. Judge his teaching." And that's what's happening to our country. Some pastors aren't faithful. Ross Douthat talks about bad religion, he calls it, in our country. And to review, with the internet, we get new listeners all the time. In the beginning, there was nothing new. We talk about creation ex nihilo, from nothing. And that's a Christian idea. You saw it in the Old Testament reading today. Most, if not all, religions teach that all this is eternal, and the natural man assumes as much. What other explanations could there possibly be for all this except that it's already been here, except that it hasn't always been here? There was nothing here, and then God, creating atoms — he really likes carbon — uses those atoms like a child uses Legos or Lincoln Logs to create things. And as we scroll through Genesis, we see a plan. We read that plan this morning, going somewhere with this. There's an ordering: land, light, water, and air. The basic things needed for life, he created them first. Ready now for plants and vegetation and a solar system to bring order and energy to the earth. So now that we have land, water, and air, and food for them, how about some fish and animals that live on dry land? Some both on dry land and water. That's pretty cool. Okay, now we're ready for the pinnacle of creation, the reason why God created all this. Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let him have dominion and enjoy the whole thing. Creation is made for the humans to be used by us, to be enjoyed by us, to be taken care of by us. And we don't always do the best of that. And Christians have noted that since the beginning. Part of our being made in the likeness, our image of God, is that like God, we are creative beings. Part of our being restored to a greater likeness of when Christ is put into us and on us at baptism, we know about creating things, and we know about using our creative energies to benefit other people. When the Father creatively builds the treehouse for his child, still working on a Kate, he does that because he loves the child, wants to make life better, more joyful for his children. When the mother creates good meals for her family, she does that because she loves her children. She wants to make those vegetables tasty because they're good for you. And fathers can cook too, and I do that all the time. But the metaphor I'm shooting for here is that in the same way, Mother Church, it's not Father Church, feeds and nurtures all God's children on word and sacrament, and we can sometimes get creative with that, can't we? So God placed all this here for us, and then he created Adam out of dirt, Eve out of Adam's rib, and he puts us here to rule over and benefit and take care of the planet, which, as I've said before, is extremely sustainable. And the point kind of is, to understand those basic truths is to understand the meaning of life itself, the meaning of being itself. The answer to the question, what exactly is our identity as human beings? C.K. Chesterton, about 100 years ago, wrote, "When men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything." And he was starting to see, already in his lifetime, look around you and ask yourself, just who believes what in America? Who believes exactly what in America? Because how you believe informs how you think and how you act in a lot of cases. That former Christian consensus lies shattered and burning on the streets of our cities. Paul warned Timothy about those who would come and preach to itching ears, and somebody will always scratch those itching ears, and they do. So that's what's happening to our country. People are simply losing the understanding of who we are as human beings. And that's where we come in. Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's our mission. That's our purpose in life. That's the thing the church lives for. It's what gets us out of bed on Sunday morning. But if you don't have the true God, of course, you make one up. And if you don't have a cause, a purpose, and it seems like humans, at least in Christian countries, need to have a cause, a purpose. If you don't have that one, then you'll find one. Everybody needs a cause. I watched that documentary. It's called My Brother the Terrorist by Rob Leach. He's English. So is Chesterton, or was Chesterton. Rob Leach's brother, one day he woke up and decided that there has to be more to life than getting drunk, going to work the next day, repeat. And actually, there is more to life than that. And so he joined another religion because they believed things. They have a purpose. Their purpose is world domination. They want everybody to submit to their religion. And if you have to use force to do that, you can get your head around that. That's a cause. I understand that cause. They believe things. They act in what they believe. I read an article in the Washington Post back in the 80s. It was written by a black woman, a teacher, and she noted that some of her colleagues had taken to calling their students animals, as in they act like a bunch of animals. And she said to them, "What do you expect?" When we teach them that they are no more than animals, why are you surprised that they act like animals? And that, kind of in a nutshell, is what's happening to our country. We don't know who we are. We don't see a purpose in life. We're taught that we are nothing more than animals, and that crosses every racial and ethnic line. What can you do about that? Well, what's been in the news this week, the fight against racism. People aren't talking about this. I'm the pastor, I'll talk about this. The fight against racism, it's a Christian thing. We're against it. And when that first came out, that was a new thing. Racism is part of the natural man. When Jesus told those first missionaries to go and teach all nations, that would have been an eyebrow raiser. He meant every ethnic group. And that was a new thing. But we've done that. And we talked about how you don't have to learn a new language to be a Christian. You don't have to change the color of your skin to become a Christian. That's a Christian thing. It goes back to the beginning. Rationalism, sometimes called the Enlightenment, it's the initial getting away from the Bible. And a lot of people gotten quite a ways away from the Bible. Theological liberalism started in Germany. And in the Enlightenment is what brought racism back into our Christian culture. And I mentioned this before, if you haven't looked up scientific racism, kind of a distortion of science, and 19th century human zoos, that's one place you can see that. Or you can look at the entry to Negro, the word Negro, in the Encyclopedia Britannica around the turn of the 20th century. You want to see what racism looks like. It's not a Christian thing. So I watched the Ulysses S. Grant story on history. They did a good job. Grant, he married a woman from Missouri whose family were slave owners. And his father-in-law thought he would give him a slave as a gift. Grant set him free, which was a very Christian thing to do. And the anti-slavery movement, and it was in the South, actually more than in the North, it was a Christian movement, the anti-slavery movement. Remember Harriet Beecher Stowe? She's the one who wrote the book Lincoln said was the cause of this war. A lot of violence died in the Civil War. The civil rights movement of the 60s was likewise a Christian thing. That was Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He was a pastor in Alabama. It was a Christian movement. And he got his nonviolence not from Gandhi. They both got it from Jesus. So what can we do? We can fight against racism like Christians always have. That's kind of our thing. And like all things, we're not perfect. Not everybody listens to the pastor. Some pastors aren't faithful. You can be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And in a most fundamental way, you already are. If you believe the creation account in Genesis, then you understand that you are not just a higher, larger-brained animal. You are a human. You are created in the image of God. You've been placed here specifically to enjoy a creation made for you, to take care of it. And we say the same thing about all the humans. And that was easy. And that's the theology of it. And I have a lot of other ideas. I went to the post office on Wednesday, asked the lady, how's the mail business these days? And she said, fewer letters, more packages. Maybe, she said, we can get back to normal pretty soon. And then, will we ever get back to normal? It's the sister question to what's happening to our country. And you know what I said? I said, well, this is normal. This is normal. And by that, I mean Gilda Radner nailed it. It's always something. She was on the original cast of Saturday Night Live back when it was funny. Then she wrote a book called It's Always Something. And she talks in that book about things like an eating disorder as a child. When she was 14, her father died of brain cancer and the like. And then she died at 42 of ovarian cancer. And yeah, it's always something. Sounds like a lot of our lives. You know what? Sounds like the last couple years of my life. And it's not the first time for me as a person, sometimes as a pastor, like you. It's always something, isn't it? And that's normal. A year ago, we were recovering from the most brutal winter in memory, moving into a growing season. And then it always rained at precisely the wrong time. It was a vivid reminder that there is, in fact, more to farming than putting seeds into the ground and they grow. And even in the best of years, it's always something. This year looks good. And I hear you saying to me, yeah, so far. Yeah, so far. In 2009, the swine flu killed 4.4% of Iowans who got it. And you know all about the other viruses. We've talked about them before. And this one is different, and they're all different. And we now know a lot more about this one than we did in the beginning. Pandemic. That also goes back as far as civilization. I mean, wherever people are around people, you're going to get that. It's kind of normal. And what will the future bring? Well, this thing, that thing, the thing, the future. If the past is a guide, probably more of the same, normal. It's always something. And you want to know what else is normal? This here, this is normal. To believe and confess our faith in the one true God, to come here and listen again to that familiar true story of creation, of redemption, of salvation, of heaven, to leave here with the word peace ringing in your ear, and to be comforted and assured by that word that God is still in control of his creation. That's about as normal as it gets. And that's something. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.